Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
We're all very, very welcome back. Back to the US, or at least a fictional depiction of it, at least. Hollywood has long been obsessed with the inner workings of the White House, who is seated in the Oval Office. We've had Independence Day to the West Wing. But how have these depictions changed, and what do they say about America as a country? We're joined now by the writer Adele Coffey to pick apart the irresistible myth of the American president in pop culture. Adele, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you, Durable. Good morning.
Good morning. Look, we have been, Adele, seduced by the image of the nearly all exclusive American president through pop culture. What do you think about it is so attractive and enduring for filmmakers?
Well, I think it's a kind of wish fulfillment almost. It's interesting that the National Research Group in America did a survey this week asking 1,000 Americans which fictional president they would vote for if they happened to be in the race. And 38% said they would definitely vote for Harrison Ford's Air Force One. I mean, how could you not? He famously saved the passengers on Air Force One in the 1997 film. 35% they would vote for Morgan Freeman's president, Tom Beck, in Deep Impact. And Bill Pullman's president, actually, in Independence Day, he got 31%. Now, bad news, Derval, is that none of the female depictions got more than 20%. But that's probably okay, considering Claire Underwood from House of Cards was a murderous sociopath. But still, she did quite well considering that. But yeah, the attraction is, like, the US presidency is the most portrayed political office actually in cinematic history. And the films are very attractive because they feed into this kind of idea. I kind of think of them as the political equivalent of cozy crime. You know, they make us feel like everything's going to be okay. There is a safe and competent person steering the ship, and it'll
and
all work out for the best.
And with their finger on the bottom. Is that because we maybe overtly romanticise not just the role, but about, you know, democracy in general and America? You know, it's kind of that the most powerful country in the world. So people are intrigued as to what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, because America enjoyed this position as sort of leader of the free world for so long. And I think that position is becoming more and more vulnerable. So under America, when it was a more stable sort of political country, it felt like, yes, well, at least there is a sensible kind of government in charge
here. The world's policeman is doing okay.
Precisely. But now, like, that romanticising, it's also a bit of nostalgia, I think, for a time when the world was, it felt a little bit more safe. But also, I think, in a way, for Americans, it's a way of reminding themselves how great their country once felt.
But at the same time, like in other movies, like, I mean, I think that probably changed with, like, movies like All the President's Men, where I suppose maybe the filmmakers were addressing in their own way that change and that sort of supremacy and stability of the US democratic model.
Yeah, absolutely. And these films about American presidents are always responding or reacting to whatever the previous real life government has been. Or so if you think about when Trump came to the presidency in 2016, at the same time that Kiefer Sutherland program came out, that designated survivor. Yeah. And that was, like, when you think about it, the fantasy president at that time was a man who was sort of studious and somber and thoughtful and moderate and an intellectual. And so that, you have to see that as a direct response to what was going on in real politics.
I liked it when we as journalists were in the golden age. when ours was depicted very, very well, because journalism always has sort of a big role in these. Like, when you look to even the depiction of the president and the depiction of journalism in film, they kind of tend to go hand in hand, don't they?
Absolutely. It's always there because you always have the journalist. And again, it's usually an inspirational kind of journalist, one who's uncovering corruption. And that was very much there in All the President's Men with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman as the guys who uncovered the Watergate scandal. So yeah, like, again, it's idealized in the same way that the presidential role is idealized. It's this idea that everybody's doing the right thing for the right reasons.
But there's also, you know, whether or not they're addressing, you know, kind of trickier themes, there is sort of a sense that, yeah, they are complicated issues, but they have an enormous propaganda value, don't they? Like a lot of Hollywood films, but they have enormous propaganda value for the US itself.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, much of the representation is about this mythological iconography of what it is to be an American and what America stands for. So the big ideas like freedom, independence, patriotism, equality.
Superpower.
And even, you know, ideas of masculinity. You can't leave that out because all of those fictional depictions of presidents, like Harrison Ford, like he's... It's like Star Wars meets the presidency. He single-handedly takes out, you know, these terrorists on a plane. And so all those ideas of strength and protection and bravery are all there too. And so, yeah, propaganda, also fantasy, I think it is a kind of sense of wish fulfillment. But I don't. It does actually have an impact, I think, on what real people are looking for in a real president. So that conceptualization of what a president should be is really impacted by the presidents we see in film and TV. Like the idea of, you know, should we have someone who's, should we have civil debate as opposed to what we've seen lately, for example, or should we have someone who is compassionate and who can see around corners? And even just how a president looks, you know, a lot, there's hardly any women depicted on TV and film as the American president, despite the fact that we've had like things like Borgen, which was an amazing TV series as the Danish president. But yeah, so it really feeds into what American people and people around the world expect
of the leader
of the free
world.
And does it
feel, though, an illusion of competence or a lack of it? Like a lot of them seem very, very fantastical, but then you are sort of left wondering, oh my goodness, is this what really happens behind the scenes?
I know, yeah. Like there is a sense of, like what are we not being told for sure? But like if you look at some of the programs or the films, like say Independence Day, where the aliens are coming and they're going to destroy Earth. I mean, this was in the 90s. In the 90s, there was a series of movies like Independence Day, Armageddon, Deep Impact, where the Earth, not just America, but the Earth was under attack. And America was there to sort of not only save American independence, but also save the entire world from extinction through its sort of mix of intelligence, technological superiority, and just bravery, I suppose.
And even shows like Scandal, which was a Shonda Rhimes one. You know, but it is, you know, you're kind of being given this notion that, hey, it doesn't matter because all around the world, 24/7, people are working to save us.
I know. The people are exactly. The Scandal is an insanely bonkers series by Shonda Rhimes, which features a kind of Washington fixer who's based on a real life woman. It stars Kerry Washington, and she happens to be having an affair with the president. Now, practically every single episode, somebody's murdered or knocked off just because it's inconvenient and it's justifiable because we're saving the president or the presidency. We're protecting that. So, highly enjoyable and hopefully not true. But the fact that that program came after the Obama era or during the Obama era is interesting because actually I was listening to Shonda Rhimes talking about this, and House of Cards came around the same time, I think was a year after Scandal. Basically, these really sinister, corrupt programs, she said it was a safe space to explore these ideas because the Americans had had the very relatively stable Obama period where it seemed like a sort of liberal, sort of ideal liberal time. They could then explore what would it be like to have a really corrupt presidential system or what would it be like to look at the darker side of it because it was from the safety of a relatively stable time.
But you often wonder what was the reason why they were thinking that? Were they, as the artist, as the antennae of the race, were they thinking ahead? There's probably Ida Elkovi, nothing more potent of a depiction than Aaron Sorkin's hugely successful The West Wing, which is, you know, not just America, but so many people were wooed by that.
Yeah, absolutely. And 25 years on, it still has a lasting impact. People still watch it. And again, I think that gets back to it's a comfort watch. The worse, you know, politics and government seems to get, the more people are drawn towards that as this kind of ideal comfort blanket of what things could be like in an ideal liberal society. But yeah, they've got podcasts. There was a documentary made with featuring real life American presidents talking about the West Wing. So it's kind of very meta, but it starred Martin Sheen as Jed Bartlett. He was this president who was, you know, incredibly compassionate. He had compassion for immigrants. There's actually a speech in the first episode of The West Wing, which kind of set him up as the kind of president he was, where he was talking about they want a better life and they want it here. And the idea of, you know, those words coming out of a president's mouth are very unusual. But yeah, that was, again,
it's almost
a fantasy.
Like a comfort blanket.
Absolutely. A fantasy, a wish fulfillment. Everyone's super smart. Everyone's really witty. Everyone's sort of good looking as well. And they're all, again, really moral. They're doing the right things for the right reasons. And by the end of each episode, you have a kind of a moral lesson about how we should view each other and treat each other.
Things obviously change with the 9/11 attacks. And that sort of poses challenges for artists and, you know, creative writers and filmmakers. And I think it was Philip Roth who said, as things get madder in real life politics, you have to work harder to make things plausible. And that sort of line between reality and unreality, even in that world of, you know, artistry where you have a lot of room, it gets more challenging, doesn't it?
It does. And I think this is why you see something like, say, Designated Survivor as a response to Trump. So it goes the other way. It goes like, who would have thought that our fantasy of a president would be somebody who's just like quite boring, quite measured and wears glasses and, you know, you feel safe around him. But that it's quite telling. But yeah, after the war on terror kind of led to a slew of films like The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark Thirty, and things like Homeland on TV and 24
which I
as
loved.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like all about fighting an external terrorist threat, or the idea of like the really sort of paranoid but very plausible idea of a threat from within, like somebody who had been turned.
One of our listeners says, in respect to the West Wing, just last night an ad went out voiced by cast members of the West Wing who are endorsing Kamala Harris for president.
Wow.
Where does fiction end and real life begin? Before I let you go, can I ask you quickly, we haven't had one yet, the depiction of female presidents. There hasn't been too many.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Claire Underwood in House of Cards, probably one of the most memorable ones. We do tend to see female presidents either being bounced in because you couldn't possibly imagine a woman being elected. They tend to get bounced in because the president has died or something bad has happened. But also, they tend to be seen as Lady Macbeth characters, like Melly in Scandal, who's the president's wife. But yeah, Claire Underwood in House of Cards, again, just completely
one
ruthless.
One of her best roles.
Amazing, and an amazing performance. Gina Davis was president in a thing called Commander-in-Chief. I didn't see that, but apparently it only got one season. And again, she was in office because the president had a stroke and died. Another one that I haven't seen is Quantico, where Marcia Cross played the president in that. A lot of these seem to have some great speeches. There was a great speech by the president, female president, in 24. Now, she was only the president for this 7th and 8th series. But they had some amazing speeches. And also there was one in Homeland where the president, Elizabeth Cain, said, no single leader can save a democracy, but without a leader you can trust, no democracy can be saved. And interesting that that came in 2018, right in the middle of the Trump era.
Well, who knows, Adele Coffey, how we're going to be depicting the next president. We have only a few days to find out who that might be. But for now, Adele Coffey, on the myth of the American president culture, thank you. We're going to take a quick break.